Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's a beautiful morning.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting, about to visit, I should say, with our good friend Rich Galen, one of our political operatives in our brain trust. And he's the writer and the publisher of the outstanding political cyber column, Mullings.com, which is also the website. And he's our good friend. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Doing good. Today, I thought about...
From Baghdad to Boston.
I thought about you today when I saw that what today is. Today is National Pretty Is as Pretty Does Day.
Yeah, well, I'm not good looking in real life, and I'm not good looking in the way I act. So,
I know you like to feel pretty from time to time, though. So I thought about
that's when I put on my makeup.
You know, Rich, one of the things I wanted to mention, I want to continue our little discussion. We were having a little discussion off the air, folks. Some of you who watched, and I don't know if it went out over all the channels.
No, it was just on CNN.
Just on CNN. Some of you who watched CNN, there was a problem with the balloons at the Democrat convention on Thursday night. There was a problem with the balloons. And I was asking Rich about that, and he was telling me how that could happen. And I'd like for you to, because as you know, folks, those of you who watched the convention on CNN, heard the guy who was trying to cue the balloons and cue the confetti and all that. He was getting very frustrated because the balloons weren't coming down, and he used some bad language. And I'd like for Rich to explain how that happens.
Okay, two things. One is that in politics, at least in big-time politics, the language, the standard language, is worse than anything you would ever hear in a basic training barracks. I mean, it is appalling, but it's just part of the culture. I mean, I don't know why.
Even in the well of the Senate, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I rest my case. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that is just standard fare. We just say, you know, the F-bomb drops pretty much, you know, in every sentence. So, what viewers were treated to there was a thing called ClearCom, ClearCom. And that is the internal circuit through which the director of any big show cues the various elements. Cue Rich Galen to the stage, cue the microphones to get on, cue whatever it is, cue the balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And the director sits wherever he sits or she sits, and they're constantly direct, like any other director. You know, make this happen, make that happen, you know, speed it up, slow it down. Now, what they do in major operations like this one is they will allow the networks or the TV guys to have access to that channel so that the TV director knows what's coming up next. So when the director says, when the convention director says, okay, cue the people with the help is on the way signs, then the TV directors know to swing a camera around because there's going to be help is on the way signs. That's how that happens. So that when Kerry says help is on the way and people hold their signs up, that it's immediately on TV. It's all not orchestrated.
So in this particular case, the
convention manager says that he has a switch that cuts it out, so it can't possibly go on the air. They allowed. Mm-hmm. They said to kind of give you a peek behind the curtain. They would allow some of this.
So that was intentional. Us being able to hear him was intentional.
Oh yeah, that was part. Yeah, that was allowable. But the convention manager had a switch that he could cut out that part of the circuit so that it would not go out over the air. He says the switch was turned off, but how would he know? He was screaming
right.
Bloody murder to get the balloons to come down. I guarantee he wasn't looking at that switch.
Well,
CNN went with it and they left it on, and then you know they got to have people like us talk about it for weeks. So it served their purposes. If they have to suffer a small fine from the FCC, too bad.
Well,
you're allowed to say a lot of stuff on cable.
My only thing that I was saying wasn't so much what he said, because I understand what you're saying about the big time politics thing. Well, I guess what I was getting at is, this guy was ranting and raving for a long time, long before he said anything that was that he shouldn't have said, I was saying to my wife, he's going to say something in a minute. They better get him off the air. This guy, I could see the veins popping out in his forehead.
But
and I said, this guy doesn't know he's on the air. He's going to say something. And sure enough, that's what happened.
But I mean, from CNN's standpoint, I mean, look at it from a programming standpoint. In in this convention, and ours will be the same way, you know, scripted down to the, you know, to the nearest second and a half. And when something finally does happen that's not scripted, they hated to cut away from it because right. It was the only thing they had all week that somebody hadn't planned out for a month and a half. So.
Well, and folks, and if nothing else, now you know there is no six-second delay. Now you know we're talking real time here. Hey, Rich, one of the things that has been talked about by the talking heads, including your talking head, is this whole thing about it's the proverbial bounce that each party gets coming out of their convention. Talk to us about the Kerry Edwards bounce.
Well, here's what I think may have happened. It's hard. It's one of those things that you can't rewind the clock to test it a different way, so you don't know. But I said when Kerry announced Edwards as his running mate 3 weeks in advance, I made the point. I might have said it on this program.
You did.
That what I don't know is if the convention bounce is a zero-sum game, which is to say, do you get a bounce the day you announce your vice presidential nominee, and then you get another one when you actually have your convention? And the answer so far is no, you get it once, and that's it. So I think, though, that what the Kerry folks wanted, they got, which was to say they did not want to go into their convention needing a bounce just to get even. So the fact that they got the bounce when they got it and they can come out somewhere around even, I think they're fairly satisfied because they understand what the issues are here. I mean, you know, this is going to be a tough campaign. As you know and your listeners know, I'm a Republican. I mean, I'm an admirer of George W. Bush. We're not friends, but we're acquaintances. We've known each other since 1979. And I do not believe that this is going to be a particularly close election when it comes down to the end. I think Bush will win fairly easily, but that's because I'm a fan, and I, you know, I'm wrong about half the time.
Well, there was a 2-4 point bounce?
Well, in one poll there was. In the Newsweek poll, which was Thursday night and Friday, I think, it showed a 2-4 point bounce, which is within the margin of error. So, and the margin of error means that you know, at 95 times out of 100, they will be the right numbers, but you can't be absolutely sure. So that's approximately nothing. But then a USA Today CNN poll came out yesterday, which was taken for them by Gallup, which showed that, in fact, Bush had picked up some support during Kerry's convention. I talked to Susan Page about it, the USA Today, the right. bureau chief, and she said they were going to poll again yesterday just to see if there was something wrong with this.
They were going to test the test, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Stand by, Rich. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Rich to tell us what to expect in the next 30 days from both sides of the campaign. 20 after. We'll be right back with Rich Gavin. Don't forget his website, Mullings.com.
We skip the line.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Rich Galen. G-A-L-E-N is his last name. And his website is Mullings.com. And that's where you can subscribe to his thrice weekly cyber column. And if you're a Republican, you'll love it. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. So I encourage you to. And if you're a mugwump, you subscribe to everything anyway. So go ahead and
subscribe. Keep an eye on everybody.
That's exactly right. Okay, Rich, tell us about the lay of the land, the scenario over the next 4 to 5 weeks.
Well, the Republicans are leading up to their convention, which will begin the last 2 days of August and the first 2 days of September. At which time George Bush will have the stage to himself. We've got the Olympics in the way. That will suck the oxygen out of the political oxygen
for both parties.
For both parties, yeah, absolutely. And now with this terror threat that the Secretary Ridge announced yesterday, that changed the debate. Starting at 2 o'clock Eastern time yesterday when he went on the air. And I have to tell you that I knew something was up because my wife works for the Secretary. She didn't get home until 11:30 Friday night. She was in the office all day Saturday, and when it was in the office all day yesterday. And, of course, I'm not allowed to ask her what she's doing because she's got a security clearance that requires her to have a dump truck run over me if I ask such a question. But something was clearly up. And, And that was it. So, but having said all that, the technical aspects, Jim, are this, that the Kerry campaign is now operating on their general election cycle. He has accepted the nomination, so his campaign is in the general election, no longer the primary.
What is it, 73 and million, 76
million? About 74 million, yeah. They have $74 million to spend the campaign. And then but the Democratic National Committee can raise money, and these 527s that they're called,
right,
these outside committees, which, you know, those of us who were opposed to McCain-Feingold said all along it will just transfer money and therefore power to organizations over which the campaigns have no direct control is going to happen. But having said that, the president or the Republicans still get to spend their primary money up until the president accepts his nomination. So, and then their $74 million clock doesn't start for a whole month later. So the secret here is that the Bush campaign will and is running fairly hard attack ads against Kerry for two purposes. One, they want to continue to define him for the huge proportion of the population that really doesn't know much about him. And B, they want to force the Kerry campaign to use up some of their money. They don't want to give the Kerry campaign this month off and, in essence, go into September even. They want to make the Kerry campaign use as much of their general election money now as they can, because it's, as I said earlier, it's a zero-sum game. Every dollar they spend in August is a dollar they don't have available in late October or early November.
But I thought I heard Maybeth Cahill, the Democratic chairman, say that the campaign chairman say that they were going to go dark in August.
Well, but they say that, and everybody. But that doesn't mean they're going to do it. They will. They'll try to have the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and these 527s run ads countering the Bush ads. But there's just something about that kind of stuff. It's got to come. The campaign ads are different, and everybody knows they're different. And there's a danger also. I mean, one of the rules about these 527s is they're not allowed to coordinate with the campaigns directly. And if they get caught, it used to be there, you just paid a fine. Now there are criminal sanctions. Mm-hmm. And my guess is the Republicans on the Federal Election Commission have got their telescopes tuned pretty closely on these guys to make sure that they stay apart. So, but you know that, but that's the thrust and parry that you do in politics, and it's like any other business. My opponent's going to do, or my competition's going to do this, so we're going to do that.
I mean, how effective did you think the Democrat convention was based on what they were planning to do
based upon what they wanted to do, which was to show Democratic unity. I thought it was tremendously successful. I think it was the best run Democratic convention I've ever seen. I've been to every one since 1984. There's a price to pay for that kind of sterility, and that is that you lose some of the passion. Part of what makes Democrats is that they're feisty and argue, and they kind of slug it out on the floor and do the things they do, and they took a lot of that out of it by design. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to see whether or not these delegates, all of whom are extraordinarily liberal, far more liberal than the average Democrat in the street, just as the Republican delegates will be far more conservative than the average Republican. But these people are like 85% against the war, no matter what. I mean, they would vote to bring the troops home tomorrow. Whatever happens. Anti-war. I mean, you look at these signs. One kid was marching with a sign that said "Hands off Venezuela," and I went up to him and said, "What? What's going on in Venezuela?" He said, "I don't know. Somebody gave me the sign."
Well, you know, this is. I think we can call this convention homogenized and pasteurized.
Oh, without question. That's the perfect way to put it. And you know, there is a great deal of safety in that, to continue the metaphor, but you do lose some of the taste and some of the vim and vigor, and it's, you know, so there is, you pay a price for that, and we'll have to see whether it's, you know, what it means. But I think these early polls might really be showing us something. On the one hand, it might show that everybody's position is so hardened that nothing either side will do. Will make much of a change, but I don't think that's right. I think, and we've talked about this too, it doesn't matter that the pollster says if the election were held today, because if you're smart enough to answer the polling questions, you know the election's not today.
We're going to have to stop. Thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure. We're going to be hearing from you all the way through the election process and the campaign and everything. Thank you for being here and for your information.
Thank you, my friend.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget Mullings, mullings.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Subscribe to his letter. I think you'll like it. Quick break, 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.